capacidad de distinguir lo esencial de lo secundario. Recuérdame que el corazón discute frecuentemente con la razón. Envíame en el momento justo a alguien que tenga el valor de decirme la verdad. Con amor. Sé que muchos problemas se solucionan solos. Por favor, enséñame a ser paciente. Sabes lo mucho que necesitamos la amistad. Hazme digna de las amistades. El más valioso y frágil de los tesoros. Dame una imaginación rica para ser capaz de compartir con las personas un poco de calor en el lugar correcto, en el momento adecuado, con palabras o con silencio. No me des lo que yo pido, Señor, sino lo que necesito. Enséñame el arte de los pequeños pasos. Anthony de Saint-Exupéry, aviador, poeta, novelista, autógrafo, escritor de literatura infantil, ensayista, escritor, autor y periodista francés. Mi gente linda y bella, esto es todo por hoy. Gracias a Dios por la oportunidad de la vida, a mi madre y a toda mi familia por haberme dado tanto amor. Gracias a todos mis seguidores de Facebook. Un fuerte abrazo. Gracias a mis compatriotas dominicanos, a quienes orgullosamente amo. Hasta la próxima semana, me despido. Lauren Feliciano.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he supports the Justice Department's decision to have an inspector general review if the FBI had an informant in the presidential campaign of President Donald Trump.
Having the IG report is very important, and giving the IG the latitude to take the investigation where it needs to go. Having the U.S. attorney from Utah attached to the IG to give them the kind of tools they need to go after any abuses is important. And what matters to us is the Article 1 branch of government conducting oversight of the executive branch is that we do get these document requests honored. Look, FISA abuse is a serious issue. We, the people, the Congress, have given the executive branch a lot of power.
Currently, President Trump is hosting the South Korean president today at the White House to discuss the recent developments regarding North Korea. Currently, the Dow Jones is down right around 40 points. For all those stories and more, please remember, check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop. I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got a MyPillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
President Trump and his team are asking that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation be wrapped up by September 1st. Reason being because of the midterm elections and any possible influence his outcome may have. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says this is a right play by Team Trump.
He's got now a window to do certain things by September 1. Then September 1 to Election Day has got to be a dark period. The only person who didn't respect that was Jim Comey, by the way. And then after the election, if he's not finished, he can pick up from there. So I think September 1 is an interim deadline, unless he feels like he can get everything done by then. My sense of it, George, is that he won't get everything done by then, but he will go dark during that period because Bob Mueller follows the Justice Department rules. He's been good on this, and he should be seen as an independent force here. I think he has been, and let's let him do his job.
That audio courtesy of ABC's Good Morning America. And finally, former President Jimmy Carter believes President Donald Trump is worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize if negotiations with North Korea are successful. This is USA Radio News.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty, even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Nearly 2 in 3 Americans think the economy is in good shape, and most of them do believe that President Trump's policies have had something to do with that. Maddie Doepler is president of Forward Strategies. She has some advice for those Republicans running in the midterm election.
Americans feel the economy really more than they even think about the economy. Voters are smart. They know exactly what their paychecks look like, what they're paying in taxes. But really, we know this from the last several cycles.
We're starting to find some details out about the Santa Fe, Texas school shooter. Now, it turns out that he was rejected by a girl that he was into, I guess you could say, and also was publicly humiliated by the same girl. But what really forced him to snap based on that rejection? I mean, we all have to deal with rejection from time to time. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Robert Sapolsky. He's a neurobiologist. He says the reaction we saw on Friday is not uncommon.
Well, what we see is like a really common tendency in us and all sorts of other primates and social organisms, which is we displace aggression. One of the like greatest predictors of when some organism is going to be awful to another one is when the first one is frustrated or in pain or afraid. And the pattern that you see is it's real easy to take it out on somebody smaller and weaker or unarmed.
Speaking of evil, it was 1 year ago this day that the Manchester Arena was bombed during an Ariana Grande concert. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! More conversation today on taking care of our combat troops. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Well, I found out a few days ago my single-engine instrument rating instructor wasn't just in the Navy. Please, do not cue the YMCA. But he was a freaking frogman. I'm humbled to even share an airplane with the guy. Proof that you never know who is a veteran and what their story is until you get to know them. And how convenient. That's just what we do here every week on Frontlines of Freedom.
Hoo-ah, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks serious. We'll hear from him as he shares some more warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is looking, well, frisky. What's going on, Skip?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time bivouacking out in the woods. This is morel mushroom hunting season, and I have found over 1,500 morel mushrooms so far this year.
My goodness, and you didn't go after them with your rifle.
No, not this year, although the really big ones, I won't rule it out.
And what did you do with them?
Well, we froze about half of them. The other half, we just eat them on sight.
Sounds like a noble and worthy thing to do. Well, here's what we have for you today. On news and comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the challenge we face today from both China and Russia. Marine vet and U.S. Congressman Duncan Hunter will share his thoughts on how we treat our combat troops, plus some other hot issues today. Then Green Beret vet Greg Stubbe will discuss his book and lifestyle. It's called Not a Victim. Then we'll continue our review of attorney and Army vet Beau Bolgiano's book on how we must protect our combat troops from now on. And Sam Kleiner will discuss his book about the World War II heroes, the Flying Tigers.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
Army reservists deployed to Europe were wrongly denied housing allowance payments, subjected to humiliating criminal investigations, and forced into debt by the service after the Army willfully disregarded its own policies to refuse benefits owed, according to a federal court complaint. The complaint, filed last month in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, accuses the Army of gross negligence, saying it caused financial and professional damage by intentionally denying benefits it should have paid. The lawsuit also says the soldiers faced threats that jeopardized their careers and security clearances by flagging them as subjects to fraud or larceny investigations. The dispute began in 2016, after reservist soldiers deployed to Europe and received benefits authorized by the Army, which included basic housing allowance for their stateside homes. They also received overseas housing allowance in Europe, after being ordered by the Army to live off post because of a lack of available housing. The benefit is spelled out in the Joint Federal Travel Regulations, which states, a service member called ordered to active duty in support of a contingency operation is authorized primary residence-based BAH-OHA beginning on the first active duty day. This rate continues for the duration of the tour. Army regulations reiterate the policy. Patrick Hughes, a Washington attorney representing the seven soldiers who filed the lawsuit, said, quote, months into their respective deployments, the finance office at U.S. Army Europe decided the benefits should no longer be paid, end quote. Several plaintiffs were informed through their chain of command that any future inquiries into the issue would be met with negative consequences, and that the denial of the housing entitlement was a final decision. In the plaintiff's estimation, as many as 340 service members may have been affected. Others think that number could be much higher, in the thousands. An Army spokeswoman declined to comment on the case, citing ongoing litigation.
When this happened, where were the colonels and generals who should have been demanding that their troops be properly cared for? Why weren't they pounding on the desk of the commander of U.S. Army Europe or the Pentagon? That's what leaders do. I'm betting these are the same guys who let their troops be charged with murder for killing the enemy in combat. See the pattern here? Look out for your career instead of looking out for the troops. This is outrageous.
One Marine was killed and 11 others injured when a CH-53E Super Stallion helicopter made a hard landing near Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, on September 2, 2015. The incident was one of five aircraft training mishaps that year that killed 15 Marines. It was the first year since 2011 that on-duty deaths exceeded military deaths in combat. But what seemed an anomaly 3 years ago has become a trend, one that in 2018 seems to be gaining momentum. Last year, nearly four times as many military personnel died in training accidents as were killed in combat. In all, 21 service members died in combat, while 80 died as a result of non-combat training-related accidents. And this spring alone, 25 people were killed in military aviation mishaps. The problem is not limited to aviation. Last August, the Navy lost 17 sailors in separate collisions involving the USS John McCain and the USS Fitzgerald. Navy investigators later found both accidents were related to ongoing Navy readiness problems. A month later, 14 Marines and a sailor were injured when their amphibious assault vehicle burst into flames following an explosion during a pre-deployment training exercise at Camp Pendleton. But most of the dramatic incidents involved aviation accidents, which are at a six-year high.
I believe many of these deaths were caused by old, worn-out equipment. We've had times when over half of our jet fighters couldn't fly because of lack of spare parts. It's been that way during the past 8 years. Another reason is that we train like we will fight, and that's very dangerous training, but it does reduce combat deaths because our troops are ready for combat. We need the funds to upgrade and repair our equipment and to continue hard training that prepares troops for combat.
They thought they could handle it at first. No immediate need to call for backup or air support. Operational Detachment Alpha Team 3212, also known as Team Awalam for their base in Niger, had just left the village of Tongo Tongo in a convoy of seven unarmored pickups. 12 members of the Army's 3rd Special Forces Group were in three of the vehicles, and about 30 Nigerian troops were in the other four. They were on a dirt track headed south about 120 miles to Camp Awalam at the end of a joint patrol that began on October 3rd. At 11:40 a.m., as the patrol was about 100 yards outside Tongo Tongo, they began taking small arms fire from a tree line to their east. They tried to execute a textbook maneuver to end the threat. They worked around to the south, intending to outflank the enemy and sweep the tree line, but were forced to retreat. The attack built in intensity as enemy fighters on motorcycles threatened to overrun them. The Americans and Nigerians fought back fiercely, but they were outnumbered and outgunned. The first call for air support came 53 minutes after they started taking fire. They made several attempts to break out of the kill zone, but had to retreat to a final defensive position. About 2 hours after the initial attack, they were preparing to make a last stand when French Mirage fighter jets arrived overhead and made several treetop-level passes. The French jets did not drop any bombs for fear of hitting friendly forces, but the low passes were effective in scattering the enemy. The Battle of Tongo Tongo was over, and the search for four fallen soldiers began. Missing were Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, Staff Sergeant Brian Black, Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, and Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright. After a fact-finding investigation, the Pentagon just released this unclassified report of what happened there.
Our soldiers were doing their jobs the way they were trained. They were training local soldiers on warfighting. The more we do that, the fewer of our troops we will need to send into combat. One never knows what's going to happen in combat. I regret the loss of these brave soldiers, but they gave their lives doing their job. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Marine vet Congressman Duncan Hunter. Eddie's troops, take a break. As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries, Spartan Nash and its MDV division are committed to supporting our military heroes and honoring those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our nation.
At Spartan Ash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it's our privilege to serve those who served. At our more than 140 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations on Memorial Day and throughout the year.
To our Front Lines of Freedom listeners that served, thank you for your service.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico Chops.
Try Lico Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and the fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. While they were our allies during World War II, Russia and China are clearly our enemies now. Like our nation, they are geographically large with good-sized populations and a tradition of being top dog in their part of the world. And today, this means top dog in the world. China's economy has already, at least by one measure, overtaken ours. The Chinese have come up with a strategy to catch up in terms of technology, too. They see our nation as a great state in decline, and they plan to step up as we fall down. Before and during World War I, Imperial Germany saw itself as the best of the best of nations and planned to rule the world. President Xi Jinping has his own version of this, a global expansion of Chinese infrastructure and influence. The Chinese army is building up its forces with a goal of having the world's strongest military when the People's Republic celebrates its 100th birthday in 2049. Like the Germans a century ago, the Chinese no longer worry that democracy might be superior to their political system. As for nationalism, there's plenty of that. China could be overestimating its own power while it underestimates ours. This is with the encouragement of other Asians. This encouragement is a certain bravado in Beijing. Chinese insist they could withstand a trade war. Some Chinese believe such a war would not last long because the American democratic system would undermine the U.S. negotiating position. However, the Chinese depend more on the current global trade arrangements than we do and could lose significantly more in a trade war. Further, as we've discussed before, China's economy is not quite as strong as it may appear. They have a huge national debt, like we do. After decades of abundance, China's workforce is now shrinking and the population aging. This suggests less growth in the future. Some assume that the concentration of power in Xi Jinping's hands is a sign of strength. A state that requires dictatorship to be stable is not as strong as it looks, just as one based on individual liberty is not as weak as it looks. Bottom line, there are two ways this can go. The U.S. and China can fall together into, first, a trade war, which could escalate into a real one. The alternative is that we decide to work together. Stay tuned. And then there's Russia. They do have a leader who sees a great future for Russia. He does have problems. First, his economy is almost totally based on petroleum, and prices aren't that good at the moment. Secondly, his population is small and getting smaller. It's a birth rate issue. Indeed, Russia has a large Muslim population because, like Europe, they've been welcoming immigrants for years, and like Europe, those immigrants aren't merging into the local culture. For nearly 50 years, arms control arrangements have contributed to more stable and predictable relations between Washington and Moscow. Beginning in the late 80s, agreements such as the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, INF, treaty, followed by the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, went beyond mere limitations to impose significant reductions on U.S. and Russian nuclear forces. They got us talking together. Unfortunately, the U.S. relationship has hit its lowest point since the Cold War. Ensuring strategic stability, a situation in which neither side has a strong incentive to strike first, even a severe crisis, faces numerous challenges. These challenges include nuclear force modernization efforts, raises questions such as missile defense, prompt conventional strike, possible doctrinal changes, developments in cyber and space domains, and the effect of third country nuclear forces, and the increased possibility of accidents or miscalculations stemming from the more frequent encounters between U.S. and Russian military forces. Existing agreements are weak and getting weaker. Moscow seems less interested in formal arms control agreements than in the past, and we have found Russia to be in violation of the INF Treaty. Thus, the risk that competition between the two nuclear superpowers could become very poorly defined. Indeed, it's possible in 2021, for the first time in five decades, no negotiated agreements will be regulating the U.S.-Russian nuclear arms relationship. That's scary. This is in neither side's interest. Both sides should seek to preserve the existing arms control regime and explore how to strengthen it. Overcoming stark differences over other problems, such as Ukraine, Syria, and interference in domestic election process, will require hard and patient work. As in the past, progress on nuclear arms control could contribute to an improvement in the broader bilateral relationship. And as we've often discussed on this show, Russia has their only naval and military base on the Mediterranean in Syria, and they're not going to give it up. Both China and Russia have, to them, valid goals to extend their power. As the current only really superpower, we need to decide how we plan to deal with these challenges. The answer is not weakness. We need our military to be much stronger than it is, and we need national leadership that will look out for our nation's interests, which I believe we have at the moment. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
For more than 50 years, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, has had the mission to make breakthrough technologies for national security. DARPA dates back to the launch of Sputnik in 1957 and the commitment by the United States that from that time forward, it would be the initiator and not the victim of strategic technological surprises. DARPA has repeatedly delivered on that mission, transforming revolutionary concepts and even seemingly impossibilities into practical capabilities. The ultimate results have included not only game-changing military capabilities, such as precision weapons and stealth technologies, but also such icons of modern society as the Internet. The launch of Sputnik in 1957 led not only to the creation of DARPA, but also to the development of the world's first satellite-based navigation system. U.S. scientists tracking Sputnik via the radio signal it transmitted noted the Doppler effect on that signal's frequency. That observation led to the realization that mobile assets might be able to keep track of their location by measuring the Doppler shifts of signals transmitted from space. In the early 1960s, DARPA and the Navy built and launched into orbit the Transit System, which was a constellation of high-flying satellites linked to computers aboard submarines. The system provided rudimentary satellite-based geolocation. A separate follow-on orbital constellation program called Navstar launched in the 1970s. Navstar went further by having an array of satellites transmit signals synchronized with the use of onboard clocks. These systems provided submarine operators with increasingly accurate determinations of their location, allowing targeted ballistic missile launches from under the surface of the water. GPS was a revolutionary innovation for the attack submarine world. However, the GPS receivers were furniture-sized equipment, with the smallest versions being over 50 pounds. Then, due to a demand for wider access to GPS within the military, DARPA launched its miniature GPS receiver program to shrink the size, weight, and power requirements of GPS receivers. The result was a GPS receiver the size of a cigarette pack that was fully digital, lightweight, and battery-operated. The widespread deployment of miniaturized GPS units have transformed military operations with assuring precision launches and guided targeting. And as every owner of a smartphone knows, you can even get your precise location right from your phone. Today, DARPA is investing in radically new technologies that have the potential to deliver GPS-quality precision, navigation, and timing information for military operations where GPS is not available. The system will have measurement devices that use chip-scale self-calibrating gyroscopes, accelerometers, and pulse labor-enabled atomic clocks and microwave sources. To be honest with you, I have no idea what all that means, but I'm pretty sure it's going to show up in an iPhone in the not-too-distant future. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I continually am amazed by the stuff that you teach me. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, Marine vet and U.S. Congressman Duncan Hunter will discuss the abuse of some of our combat troops and the southern border. Then, former Green Beret Greg Stubbe will discuss his book and lifestyle, Not a Victim. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Do 25, then stand at ease. Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots support these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
USA Radio News.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he supports the Justice Department's decision to have an inspector general review if the FBI had an informant in the presidential campaign of President Donald Trump.
Having the IG report is very important, and giving the IG the latitude to take the investigation where it needs to go. Having the U.S. attorney from Utah attached to the IG to give them the kind of tools they need to go after any abuses is important. And what matters to us is the Article 1 branch of government conducting oversight of the executive branch is that we do get these document requests honored. Look, FISA abuse is a serious issue. We, the people, the Congress, have given the executive branch a lot of power.
Currently, President Trump is hosting the South Korean president today at the White House to discuss the recent developments regarding North Korea. Currently, the Dow Jones is down right around 40 points. For all those stories and more, please remember, check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Marine vet and U.S. Congressman Duncan Hunter. His district is in San Diego, California. Not surprisingly, he has stood up for our military for his entire career. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Congressman.
Hey, Colonel. Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Sir, give us a quick review of your military service.
Joined just after 9/11, had a couple of companies in San Diego. I went to San Diego State University, started a couple of internet companies in the 90s then when it was brand new. After 9/11, quit my job, joined, went to Iraq in 03 just after the invasion. Back in Fallujah in 04 as the only Marine Corps artillery battery supporting the invasion of the city of Fallujah through the first invasion. And then we pulled out because of a bunch of dumb politicians and went back in November. I wasn't there for that. Came back home to Camp Pendleton, got out in 2005. Moved to Idaho, actually tried to escape California and their liberal ideology there, and started building homes in Idaho in 2005. And my dad was in Congress for about 28 years. He's an Army Ranger veteran, Vietnam. All the men in my family have served going back a couple of generations. And in 2008, I was working in Idaho, and my dad was retiring and said there wasn't a single combat veteran from Iraq or Afghanistan from either war in Congress. We had a couple of lawyers who were JAGs, and I guess that counts to a degree, but not really.
Not really.
To me, I classify a lawyer with pilots. That's okay, though. Marine pilots are all right. Marine lawyers, they're okay. So I ran for Congress in 2007. My dad kind of convinced me. I promised my family I would never get into politics, but I would have a normal job and be home every night and that kind of thing. And especially after the Marine Corps being gone so much. But my dad convinced me there wasn't anybody who knew what I knew and had the perspective from the guy on the ground that I had. And so I ran in 2008. I got called back to active duty and after I announced, went to Afghanistan in 2007, and then came back and won my election 6 months later after coming back from Afghanistan and getting off of active duty. And I've been in Congress since. And that's what I mean, my last job, military, I guess you could say I PTSD through Congress. I would recommend to anybody taking about a year or two break after getting back off of active duty, especially during wartime, taking a breather and before doing anything, frankly. But so here we are. Been in Congress about 9 years, coming up on my fifth term, I think.
That's awesome. And what I asked you to join us for today was, I know in Vietnam, at least, we took care of our troops. The insane policy that our Pentagon seems to have today to try, convict, and imprison close combat troops for killing the enemy in combat? You and I last spoke about this at the event in Washington, D.C. that was focused on getting a pardon for Lieutenant Clint Lawrence. The military wasn't doing like things like that when I was in the Army. What's happened? How did this happen?
Sure. And, you know, Clint Lawrence is one of the cases that we haven't fixed yet. We have fixed, just through my office, dozens of others of things. When I say fixed, rectified the situation, embarrassed the services, whether it's usually Army, frankly, in the cases that we work, usually Army. And those guys, you can Google any of these guys, Matt Goldstein,
great Special Forces major that the Army tried to put in jail for killing some guys that killed Marines in Afghanistan. Charles Martland, the guy that beat up a sexual pedophile, a predator, on a military base when the mom and the kid came and said that he had the kid chained to his bed and was abusing him. Martland beat him up. The Army tried to kick him out for that. Jason Amerine, who was with the 1st ODA in Afghanistan that got the Karzai, he was the head of that team. The Army tried to kick him out for doing his job and doing the right thing for the country. So in answer to your question, though, here's what's happened. The over-lawyerization and bureaucratization of the Defense Department. So the Defense Department used to exist kind of on its own because you had a bunch of war fighters and hard chargers and people that knew that the reason that the military exists is to put rounds on target, to kill the enemy through fire and close combat. That's what the military does to reach political ends. That's what we're here for. It is to blow up things and break things and do things in the meantime that other organizations can't do. The State Department doesn't know what our Special Forces teams know that are on the ground in Africa, right? That's what we do in the meantime. But you have too many lawyers. The lawyers run the show. And I'll tell you, I'll even take this higher to our entire government right now, what's going on with President Trump. I'm under investigation by the Department of Justice. These guys, it's a bunch of lawyers with badges, and they've now infiltrated everything, and they run the show. And I can, let me give you one example. This goes back to 2007 in Afghanistan. I was sitting next to our four-star general in Afghanistan that ran ISAF at that time. That's the International Security Assistance Force. They did the Afghan war from on high, and we're trying to bomb people. He had a lieutenant commander, Navy JAG, sitting next to him, and the four-star army general could not approve a fires mission unless the lieutenant commander said it was okay. That's wrong, and that was in 07. And I would assume it's got much worse under the Obama administration and is probably getting better now. But it takes time, and you've got to sideline the lawyers because they're not war fighters. They're lawyers, and we need to realize that we're an over-litigious society. And when you give these lawyers the power that they have, where you give them rank in the military or badges in the civilian world, you have an undermining of our political system and an undermining of our military system. That is the overall look of how I see it.
Congressman, I couldn't agree more with you. As I've looked at it, you've got a better insight than I do, but I think that hits a nail on the head. But it also has to do with those colonels and generals who would put up with that as opposed to going pounding on their boss's desk and the Pentagon's desk saying, I'm the one who makes combat decisions. I think we have to deal with those people too.
Yeah, that, you know, and I've kind of thought, here's the upside to all this, Colonel, is that you still have somehow, and it surprises me every time when I see a guy like General Dunford made it to the top. General Mattis makes it to the top. General Kelly, warfighters all, makes it to the top. General Tulin, who was a regimental commander in Iraq when I was there, he's made it to where he started out. There's great stories like that of the good, and that's just the Marine Corps. General Milley, the chief of staff of the Army, he is one of the biggest hard chargers I've ever met in my life. The chief of staff of the Army right now is one of the greatest warfighters that's heading up a military organization in the country. So the good people do make it to the top somehow. They sideline the lawyers somehow, and the guys make it up, and that's a good thing.
But there's some culture out there that gets in the way.
You have careerists, Colonel, and you're always going to have that. It's the same in politics. You have the majority of, in fact, the military, you probably have 10% bad apples, and that goes from a E1 to a three-star, right? You get weaned out as you get higher, but you still have probably 10%. Probably in Congress, it's probably 60-30. You have people in Congress that are just politicians and they want to do what's good for them and they want to get reelected. Then you have the guys that just want to do the right thing and they vote the right way according to their how they feel every time. But you got bad apples everywhere. I think we know that. You got to get rid of the careerists somehow and make sure that you're promoting people based on them wanting to do their jobs and make the hard decisions.
I couldn't agree more. We got about a minute left, Congressman. Would you like to make a quick comment on our southern border since you live on it? It seems to me we need to secure our border. Is that logical?
Yeah, very, very simply stated and true. No, I mean, it goes beyond that. San Diego was a no man's land. You had people crossing by the thousands. My dad earmarked the border wall. And my dad was in Congress, also Duncan Hunter. He earmarked because the presidents and Congress didn't want to build a wall. So he had the National Guard put up landing mats that they had around. It changed the whole border life, meaning people couldn't live on the border in San Diego. They can live on the border in San Diego now. But let's bring the border issue to where it needs to be, and that's a national security issue. It's not an immigration issue. It's a national security issue. If somebody wants to bring in a weapon of mass destruction, they're not going to fly into LAX.
They're not going to get on a cruise ship. They're not going to dock at the port. They're going to try to bring a weapon of mass destruction or agents or biological agents, anything, across the southern border. That's how they're going to get into the country. They're going to fly into Venezuela or South or Central America somewhere and try to bring stuff north across the border. We have to defend the border now, especially post 9/11. It's almost un-American. Not you're waiting for someone to bring something really bad and do some really bad things to Americans before you act. I say act now, secure the border for national security reasons, and that will also alleviate a lot of the pain and bad stuff that's happening with illegal immigration.
Yes, sir. There's more we could talk about this, but we're out of time. Congressman, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. Thank you for that you're fighting for us now. It's an honor to call you friend.
Super Five, Colonel. Thank you.
Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll meet former Green Beret Greg Stube and discuss his new book, Not a Victim. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
May is National Armed Forces Month, and while Spartan Ash is committed to serving our military heroes throughout the year, we want to say a special thanks this May to all those presently serving in our military and to their families as well.
As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. military commissaries around the world, it's our privilege to serve those who served through the commissaries and at our more than 140 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
We'll soon be providing information on how you can attend the Sky Ball. I went to it last year, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I'll soon be sharing about it and how its goal is to help our military and veterans and their families. This is an activity of the Air Power Foundation, an amazing group of patriots who just want to take care of our military community. We'll be sharing more about this over the next month. You're going to love this.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to Frontlines of Freedom a former Army infantryman and Green Beret, Greg Stube. Greg served for 23 years on active duty, then hosted his own TV show on NBC Sports. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Greg.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Great. Greg, give us an overview of your time on active duty with Mother Army. When did you join? Why? What did you do?
Well, I joined the Army in 1988 to be an infantryman. And after a few short years of that, I became promotable to sergeant and saw a recruiting poster for Special Forces. And then I went to assessment and selection and somehow slipped through the cracks and went through the Q course first time through and wound up putting on a Green Beret when I still had Similac on my breath.
I understand what you're saying. And the Q course, the Special Forces Qualification Course, is not what you would call a walk in the park, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. And it's not that it's not impossible. But to me, the harder part was living up to the enormous responsibility at the end of it.
You know, that's the bottom line to everything, isn't it? Is when you
I think so.
When you take on a responsibility, you've got to live up to it. And that's sort of what makes us grow and accept life and accept responsibility. At least that's not my humble opinion.
No, it just gave me such a healthy respect for teachers, police officers, and everyone that chooses to stand in the front of the room or take charge of other people, because once you become identified for the post that you've agreed to take, there's no hiding anymore. You can't just shift back in the shadows and let other people take care of it. And that was the first time in my life I couldn't avoid the magnitude of the responsibility that I chose.
You know, and at that point, you either step up to it or fade away. And based on the book you've written, great book called Not a Victim, taking into account that you were very seriously wounded, I think by an IED, I'd say the book is a view of life for basically a view of your life philosophy. Am I right?
Well, the title of the book is Conquer Anything, Green Beret's Guide to Building Your A-Team. And it is kind of a collection for me of things I learned, but it's not born of successes and expertise. For me, it all stems from mistakes and oversights and shortcomings.
Okay. Give us some examples of that, because that's the learning part of life, isn't it?
I think so. And the hardest part for me to accept, I was in the capacity of a Green Beret, but I didn't know how to be one best until I was finished being one. And I was laying in a hospital bed after the fact, learning lessons that would have made me infinitely better at what I'd spent my years doing.
But that's part of life. You generally grow and mature. You learn things. You make mistakes and do things right and do things wrong and learn from them and learn from other people's mistakes. But you never stop learning, so you're never as good today as you're going to be tomorrow as long as you keep your mind working. So,
yep.
Yeah, you never arrive. It's there's no destination. It's a trip.
My youth was largely wasted on a younger person.
But don't you wish you could have the energy back then, now, that you did then?
Right. It's never the total package, is it?
No. And the challenge is, it's inside you. Are you going to go on? Are you going to succeed? Are you going to continue to move forward, continue to be a positive impact on society? Or are you not? And nobody else can decide that for you, can they?
No. And I guess I felt, you know, in writing this book, it's a very humble thing to do. And I wrote it wondering if anybody would actually want to read it. And would they think I was a jerk for thinking I know everything? I don't feel like I do. And it's a humble attempt to demystify some of what makes things work so great under fire in the military and break down what the components of character, leadership, team dynamics, and resilience are in a way that separates it from the pressure and life and death demands so that everyday people can use it. Because after all, these are not military characteristics as much as they're human ones. And so building your A-team could be as simple as your family under your roof, and there might be a dog on your A-team.
Absolutely. Or a small business or a neighborhood soccer team or darn near anything. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the book Conquer Anything with author and Green Beret veteran Greg Stube. Greg, you were very badly injured. That turned your life around. You've alluded to that. What it did is make it different, not more or less anything, at least not less something. Talk about that.
Honestly, I think it was value added for me in the sense that, I'm not sure I would change it and take it away if I could, because I've learned so much for it. And I'm not pumping sunshine here. I'm honestly telling the truth that getting the chip knocked off my shoulder and learning that I'm not as smart as I thought I was, and I'm not nearly as tough as I thought I was, that's the game changer when I started realizing that the things I hadn't developed were the things I needed the most, and they were the only things that could sustain me through the harder parts. As a Green Beret, I never wanted to admit that I'd started off slobbering as a baby, but I'm going to be slobbering again if I'm lucky enough to be an old man, or if something in life, traumatic or dramatic, happens, which it so often does, and takes away my capacity.
Well, that's a darn absolutely true statement. I don't know anybody who's gone through something really tough that they didn't learn from, grow out of. There are some people who just literally are physically crushed and can't do anything, but those are few. And there are some who just succumb to it. But a great number of the people I know took that negative and turned it into a positive. What you just described is exactly that situation. And whether it's a combat injury or a car accident or a divorce or whatever, your life's going to be what you make of it, not what somebody else tried to do, right?
Yes, sir. And it doesn't take battlefield wounds and injuries to be wounded or injured as a person or to assume the role of a victim. And that's the danger. If we get passed over for a promotion, we get hit by a drunk driver, there's so many things in life that can victimize us. But if we choose to carry ourselves that way with a sympathetic nature, then we're disqualifying ourselves from any leadership post in a real way, and we're lowering the common denominator of joy everywhere we go. And it's just not worth it. So rather than being wounded, I choose to be a warrior. And wounded's just not an acceptable identity. And as veterans, we need to be concerned about that.
I really agree with that. And you used a magic word, which is victim. I can claim that I'm a victim because you're taller than I am or better looking or the wrong race or the wrong... I was born with a bad hand or missing a kidney, or I can come up with excuses for anything, but everybody has something that isn't working for them. And you either pick it up, deal with it, and go on and be successful, or you stay a victim. I've seen that a lot, haven't you?
Yes, sir. And then I'm going to go ahead and reference George Washington, because General George Washington's profile is on the Purple Heart. And it wasn't until after I was awarded the Purple Heart that it started sinking in what that really means and why he would be there. And you think about what people have done from George Washington forward, the sacrifice that's been made. And then when it was time to take off the uniform, they didn't stop serving. They didn't focus on disabilities. They focused on capabilities and the lessons they learned in the service of this nation. They brought to bear for the betterment of the nation itself. And today we have such a grateful nation behind us more than ever. Well, Vietnam veterans like yourself haven't even heard the words welcome home yet. And so I think we need to have an attitude of gratitude. And anything we have left, we bring it to bear for the betterment of our families and communities and our country.
Very, very well said, my friend. Folks, I strongly encourage you to go get a copy of Conquer Anything by Greg Stube. Greg, I presume it's available at Amazon and at good bookstores everywhere?
Yes, sir, it is. Everywhere you can find books.
Greg, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation and for the encouragement you're giving to the world right now. I appreciate you, brother.
And thank you, sir. Welcome home.
Thank you. Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. You know, he's met celebrities, presidents, and comedians. He's experienced war and peace. He's accumulated countless accolades. But for America's oldest living World War II veteran, Richard Overton, there's nothing better than hanging out on his front porch, smoking cigars, and greeting passerbys who greet him, and rightly so, like a neighborhood king. This month, Overton celebrated his 112th birthday with a community celebration at his East Austin home on the street that now bears his name, Richard Overton Avenue. Overton is believed to be the oldest living American and third oldest person in the world. The supercentenarian has no plans of slowing down. Since his last birthday, he's kept pretty busy. "I'm enjoying myself," he said. Last month, he flew in a private jet to visit the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, where he received a private tour and met with former Secretary of State Colin Powell. Last summer, Overton's home of over 70 years received major repairs that helped make his sanctuary safer and more accessible. Overton enjoys central air conditioning and heating for the first time since he built his home in the 1940s. The makeover provided by Meals on Wheels Central Texas's home repair program allowed him to continue living in his own home. Overton served in the Pacific Theater from 1942 to 45 as a part of the all-black 1887th Engineer Aviation Battalion. When asked about the secret of a long life, Overton glanced at his cigar and said, "Don't give up, keep on living." So stand tall, Richard Austin, front lines of freedom, and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show.